So, as many of you know, my life seems to give me exactly what I need each week to experience firsthand what I'm preaching on, so I can understand it with greater depth and get very little sleep. And this week, well, I'm not sure I should have chosen this topic of how to make it through hard times, because it's been a really tough week for me. But lest you worry, I'm coming through it now, and I've certainly had great opportunities to practice how to make it through when the waves are crashing around us and life feels really challenging. Thank you, universe. And simultaneously, I know that many of you are dealing with intense physical and emotional challenges right now, not to mention the acts of cruelty, violence, and inequity that we are witnessing in this country on a day-to-day basis. And that, coupled with ongoing climate disasters, where our friends, families, and neighbors are losing their homes and their livelihood, even our wonderful UU Camp de Benneville is impacted again as the road to the camp was swept away by recent mudslides. Last year, it was closed because of fires. So many of us feel the weight of the world heavily in our muscles and bones, and we are weary. Anyone else here weary? And if we have tender, open-hearted spirits, if we're empathic at all and feel along with the pain that others are undergoing, well, it becomes particularly tough, doesn't it? And though we may wish to find a way to control all that is happening, to fight every single injustice, inequity, evil, and cruelty around, we simply cannot address them all because they are coming too fast, too often. And there are too many. So it can feel overwhelming and impossible to control. So how do we keep going? How do we find hope and relief amidst the relentless onslaught of challenges and bad news, amongst the daily cruelties and unfairness that we see? Now, I gain courage from people who somehow find peace amidst the most unimaginable difficulties, like Viktor Frankl did while he was in a concentration camp. People who somehow accept what is and courageously keep putting one foot in front of the other, choosing their response over reacting, even when everything around them seems to be crumbling. Now, I'm not advocating surrendering and just letting all the horrors be. I'm not suggesting that we simply accept what is because we feel powerless and overwhelmed or bullied into submission. Indeed, the perpetrator's hope is that we feel overwhelmed and defeated, that we give up the fight, so we cannot and must not stay or live there, right? Instead, we need to face the challenges around us head on. Look them squarely in the face, keep doing what we can, and find some way to find refuge and hope amidst it all, rather than being constantly in a state of fight, flight, or firefighting. Remembering the poem that Jill and I read earlier, to be a person in the world and do the impossible every day simply by keeping your eyes open, simply by getting out of bed, simply by facing these incomprehensible horrors again and again without somehow abandoning your joy. Yes. And what I've noticed in the past few weeks is when I focus on all the hard stuff and get all agitated and worried, I'm giving my attention and energy to the problems. And soon my body and spirit start to feel heavy and burdened, and my joy fades. But if I name the difficulty as it arises and try not to get activated by it and let it pass through me like the wind without telling a huge story about it, I find I can stay more peaceful. I can stay in that calm in the eye of the storm. And then with a deep breath, perhaps put my hand on my heart and offer myself some compassion, acknowledging that these are hard times, and then find something I'm grateful for, something good to turn my attention to. And there is so much good still here all around us every day, just looking at your beautiful faces. So let's take a moment first now to name all that we're struggling with, all the things that wake us up in the middle of the night with worry, everything we're finding hard in our lives and this world at the time, so that we can really examine the weight of the world that we're carrying in our muscles and bones before we let it go. So I invite you to raise your hand and call out something you are finding difficult, and I'll repeat it into the microphone. And those of you online, feel free to write it into StreamYard chat. And let's collect and name out all the things we find challenging and the burdens we are carrying. And Jill, would you mind going into the lounge and just, after I've done all the concerns here, hear what the lounge has to say, speak it into your mic, keep Jill's mic on. So what are some of the things that you're carrying? Ruthann, yes? Insurance rates going up. Yes, our church, our congregation is dealing with that. Nancy? Making ends meet. Yes. Is that all we've got here? Yes.
Meeting people where they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The assault on the American dream and ideals. Yes. Daily brutality. Yes, Sherry.
The revenge indictments.
And what else? In the justice system. Yeah, Jill.
Fascism.
Pamela.
The things you start noticing hurting as you get older.
Yes. Yes, Kathy.
The apparent collapse of our government.
Yes, Annie.
Online, Anahi says, worrying about ICE in our communities. Sandy King says, cancer treatment, chemo.
Let me do one at a time. So Anahi says, worrying about ICE in our community. Yes, absolutely. Yes, Vanessa.
Inequality.
Torkel.
Genocide in Gaza.
Read the next online.
Cancer treatment, chemo, while wanting to protest.
And who's that from? Sandy King, cancer treatment and chemo while wanting to protest. Melanie. People having a sense of entitlement to cruelty. Devin. Masked agents of the government perpetrating violence. Yes. The news. Every day. Yes, Randall. Extrajudicial killings. Jill, your microphone is on, so if you'd wait until I call on you, that'd be great. Bethany. All the children you know who are hurting and scared. Yes. Yes, April. Medical responsibility. Yeah. Collateral damage of tariffs and immigration on small businesses. Yes.
Corporate greed.
Okay, Jill, let's hear some from the lounge.
Overwhelming sense of responsibility for others.
Trying to explain a problem
and then getting blamed for noticing it. The fear of exercising free speech.
Yes.
Too many people feeling helpless. The breakdown of democratic institutions. Did we get? Oh, one more. The loss of friends and families due to the conspiracies driving us apart.
And then also our local water crisis, genocide in Sudan, the normalcy of lying. And Ruthann, one more.
People can't visit their families out of respect because some of them are afraid that they won't be able to get back into their jobs. And I know that somebody
People afraid to visit their families out of the country because they're afraid they won't be let back in or get back to their jobs. And she knows someone who went through that. Okay, last one. Last two.
The encouragement I received yesterday at the No Kings rally. Big, strong showing.
That's for our next section, the good things. Yes, one David. The pain of empathy when so many are suffering. Yeah. That's a lot, isn't it, my friends? So I invite you to put a hand on your heart. No wonder many of us are agitated and not sleeping well. No wonder some of us feel hopeless and exhausted. Loosen, loosen, baby. You don't have to carry the weight of the world in your muscles and bones. Let go, let go, let go. Now, it's all very well to sing about letting go, but how do we actually let go in the middle of it all? How do we ease our pain and release the stress carried in our muscles and bones, not to mention our heads? How do we lighten our load and find hope in this time? The primatologist chimpanzee expert, Jane Goodall, who passed away just over a week ago, wrote several books on hope. And in a recent New York Times interview, she said, "Hope isn't just wishful thinking." She invites us to imagine a long, dark tunnel with a little star at the end, representing hope. There's no good sitting at the mouth of the tunnel and wishing that hope would come to us, she said. We've got to roll up our sleeves and we've got to climb over and crawl under and work around all the obstacles that lie between us and the star. And we will hear another message from this extraordinary gentle woman of courage and deep wisdom at the end of my sermon. But on a recent trip to Ireland, I got inspired by several other visionary women. Our journey with 24 women clergy, there were UUs, UCC, and United Methodist women clergy from all over the US, was titled Creator, Badass, and Saint. And it aimed to inspire us by meeting and learning about courageous, groundbreaking Irish women, druid priestesses, artists, musicians, writers, and saints. And one of the women I was particularly inspired by was a 16th century seafarer and leader of navies called Grace O'Malley from the west coast of Ireland. And Grace became a sailor and Irish pirate queen at a time when women were not allowed to sail, let alone lead armies. And in defiance of her father, who warned her that her hair would get her stuck in the ropes and that sailing was not a fit occupation for women, Grace cut off all her hair and took to the seas. And she ended up sailing all over the British Isles, commanding battalions of men and negotiating peace treaties with Queen Elizabeth I. Grace demonstrated badass courage in the face of the oppressive patriarchy and led with spirit, passion, and purpose. And we actually got to meet her great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter, Joan Molloy, a young woman who herself became a sailor and has solo sailed around the world, even while pregnant. Right? Joan told stories of being out on the wild oceans by herself in a small sailboat, not being able to sleep for more than 15 minutes at a time because she had to keep watch over her boat and work the tiller. I thought about her last night when I was awake at 2 a.m. I thought, hey, I got 4 hours sleep. What am I complaining about? Alone amongst thundering waves and stormy weather, exhausted and hungry, she reached the edge of her human capacities many times, and she wasn't sure she could go on. Yet knowing her goal and that she had others to live for and crowds of supporters back home who believed in her, she found the resolve to keep going and not give up. She told us that what helped her survive was her clear vision of her goal, not allowing her emotions to get too extreme, thinking outside the box, and all her psychological and physical training and preparation. She said your own self-management becomes part of the performance management of the sailboat. Burning out is an absolute disaster. You can't, or you die. Her courage and wisdom was so uplifting, my friends. You wonder why I go on study leave. That's why. But she also trained hard on her mental conditioning to make it through nearly impossible challenges, which reminded me of the importance of our regular spiritual and personal resilience practices and of creating a clear future vision to call us forward with courage and strength to keep going on no matter what. Another visionary badass woman who inspired me no end was Ireland's first woman president and the first female high commissioner of the UN for Human Rights, Mary Robinson. Now, Mary is now one of our world's wise elders, who with others like Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, and Richard Branson, worked on ways to give hope to the world and combat climate change. Mary became president at a time when Ireland had strict regulations about what women could and couldn't do. They certainly couldn't be president. And when Ireland was under firm hand of the Catholic Church and was in the midst of the troubles with Northern Ireland, it was a very oppressive, restrictive time in their country. And yet, a groundswell of hope and new vision elected her president against all odds. People laughed at her candidacy at the beginning, and she became president. Hope was victorious and marked a new dawn of progress for Ireland from outdated regimes. And it gives me hope that over time, things can and will change, and we need to hang on to that hope, my friends. Yes? While she was Ireland's president, Mary did something that our Unitarian ancestors did during World War II. She lit a lamp in one of the windows of the president's residence to shine 24/7 as a symbol that she was remembering all those who are struggling, holding them all in her prayers and care. She was shining a light for anyone who is marginalized, oppressed or suffering, as well as for our beautiful earth. And even after leaving the presidency, Robinson still practices this in her home now. She shines a light continuously in one of her home's windows, a beacon of hope and care that people can take courage and sustenance from. My friends, remember, this is what our Unitarian ancestors did during World War II. During those horrific times, they lit a chalice candle in their windows to shine a light of hope and welcome, to indicate a safe house for those in danger. And it's that light of hope that Jane Goodall speaks about, that we need to keep climbing, crawling, working, and struggling towards. It's the lighthouse, the beacon that both Grace O'Malley and Joan Malloy needed so desperately on their voyages. And shining our light, my friends, is something we can all do in the midst of such darkness. We can shine the light of love and hope brightly, and that's what we try to do together here every week. But how do we do that when we're tired and weary? Joan Malloy told us that when she was out at sea adrift, exhausted, hungry, scared, and simply wasn't sure she could go on, she leaned heavily on the mental and emotional and spiritual resilience practices she had learned during her preparation. My loves, we've been preparing for these times for years, haven't we? We've been working on practices to strengthen our hearts and souls for exactly times such as these. And this is why we gather every week to learn, to grow, to connect and transform. Clarissa Pinkola Estes said, we are made for these times. Yes? But that doesn't mean it's all going to be easy or it'll be over quickly. We are likely running a marathon. So we need to find places of refuge, rest, comfort, where we can let the weight of the world go for even a few moments, so we can rekindle that pilot light of love and hope within us again and again. So where do you find refuge? How do you restore and refuel? Where do you find comfort, solace, and the chance to exhale amidst it all? How do you keep that flame of hope glowing within you even when you feel the weight of these times or are faced with huge challenges? How do you keep going when it seems like these hard times have been going on forever already and you are weary? Well, personally, I find refuge in my daily spiritual practices of journaling, meditation, and movement. Friendships, family, and caring conversations are really important. I find refuge in nature by putting my feet on the ground and feeling the enormous strength of Mother Earth and how she is able to hold and transmute all of this pain. I find refuge in a moment of awe, and by giving gratitude for the continuous beauty in this world, despite all the suffering. And as many of you know, I find refuge in dancing, as does Torkel. It helps me shake off the pain. Even better if I'm playing Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. It helps me move stuck and heavy energy and reclaim joy. Joy is our birthright. And of course, I find refuge and sustenance in this beautiful community and being among so many loving, caring people who want to help ease each other's pains. Here we know we are not alone in this, right? So where do you find refuge? What do you do that allows everything to fall away? What are your moments of respite where you can be fully present and not worry about anything? Can we take just a brief moment to share some ideas of where you find hope and refuge, even amidst all of this? Just quickly, because I know we're going long. But please, anyone want to raise their hand? Yes. Sewing. Yes. Bird watching. Yes.
Beauty of nature.
Pets.
In the garden.
In the garden.
Going within.
Going within. And music.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Pottery.
Hiking.
Hiking.
Mosaics. Jill, do you have any there? Just a couple?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Pride in the creativity of my kids, leaning in with my gifts in the places I can make a difference.
Yes, we can.
Outside, being outside.
Anything else? Being outside.
Playing games.
Playing games and laughing, having fun. And Floyd, you said that there were so many thousands of people at the No Kings marches. In fact, I believe there were at least 7 million people around the country. So there's a lot of good, right? And I encourage you all, maybe during coffee hour today, to share what brings you refuge, what restores and refuels you, what brings you joy, and try some of these refuge spaces yourself. We've got to grow those spaces in our lives. Because these are the places that you can find comfort and renewal, where you too can replenish your soul and strengthen your light. These are the places we can find sustenance to help us make it through that dark tunnel towards the light of hope. And also it helps me to imagine that somehow there may be some higher purpose to this difficult time. That all this ugliness will spur us all on to grow our light and love and evolve as humanity. It's time we evolve, isn't it?
Yeah.
That the darkness maybe has to reveal itself so we learn to shine our light more brightly. Remember how we see the stars more brightly during a very dark night? Joan Malloy spoke of the unimaginable beauty of the night skies and the expansive vistas of sparkling stars while she was out alone on the ocean. And she said, that made it all worthwhile. And that's what's happening now. The night is very dark, but the stars of hope, love, and higher consciousness are shining ever more brightly. And my friends, our task these days is to focus less on what's weighing us down and instead focus our attention on creating possibilities and hope. Are you with me?
Yes.
We'll never be able to fix all the ills in the world, but we must not let the pain drown or drain us. So do what you can and rest and refuel. Because more important than anything at this time is to be able to keep going on in this marathon and to cheer each other on, like many of us did at the No Kings protest yesterday. We need to cultivate our light so it can be a lighthouse, a beacon, a refuge for those who need it. And sure, there are going to be clouds and rain and plenty of storms. Don't doubt that. That's what the human condition is all about. But let's not be fearful and overwhelmed. Let's focus on bringing love, unity, and peace into our lives. And when you are tired and fear your own light is too dim, find refuge and light a candle or a chalice and put it in your window while you sleep to let others know that they are safe with you. To honor the memory of Jane Goodall, who was so attuned to our interconnectedness, may we keep climbing over, crawling under, and working around all the obstacles that lie between us and the star. And may we never forget that we are not alone. We have this community and each other, and we can hold hands, share our burdens, and keep shining the light together, being a beacon of love, hope, and light together. Yes? The words of the Sufi poet Rumi say it best. If everything around seems dark, look around you. You may be the light.